You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, guys. It's Drew Gasparini here from Now We're Talking with Drew Gasparini, and I'm just letting you know that you can now support our podcast by becoming a patron of our show on Patreon. That's right. Just go to patreon.com/NWTpodcast, and for as little as $5 a month, you can help keep this podcast alive. Podcasting is a lot of fun, I'll tell you, but it's a lot of work as well, from booking our star-studded guest list to research, writing, hosting, recording, and editing, for the love of God, the editing, and beyond. This particular podcast is a one-man operation through and through, so $5 a month can actually go a really long way, not to mention the perks you get by becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/NWTpodcast to see how you can support us today. Hey, special shout-out to our newest patrons, Katie, Elizabeth, Becca, Thomas, and Sheena. I couldn't do this without you. And now for what you all have been waiting for, the motherfucking show. Hi there, it's everyone's favorite Powerpuff boy, Drew Gasparini here with another episode of Now We're Talking, the podcast that holds the world record for most chicken nuggets eaten in a single sitting. Today's guest has graced stages all over the world as an opera singer. She's a badass with a heart of gold and has made a seamless transition from opera into musical theater. She starred in New York City Opera's production of Candide, where she was discovered by the legendary Broadway director Hal Prince, and has since gone on to play Christine in Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber's mega hits Love Never Dies and Phantom of the Opera. She is currently playing Christine in the Company of Phantom of the Opera, which opens back up on Broadway on October 22nd. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to have her with us. Now we're talking with Megan Picerno.
Megan, how are you as you take a big gulp of whatever tasty thing you have in front of you? Hello, thank you for being here on this podcast. I'm excited to chat today.
Yes, same. Hello.
So the last name is pronounced Picerno.
Oh, good. That's perfect. With your hands.
Okay, so Gasparini. Okay, what is the most insane mispronunciation of your name that you've gotten?
Oh, gosh. What? Let me name the ways. One of my favorite is Pissarino.
Pissarino. That's what I say when I have to pee. I go, I got to take a real quick Pissarino.
Yes. No, fun fact too, that was for my mom was graduating from grad school, and yeah, they were like, Karen Pissarino, and we were all like, is that us?
This is my favorite thing that you just brought up, was my eighth grade graduation, which is like a silly thing to have like a big ceremony for anyway. You're graduating eighth grade, so you're going from being a teenager to still being a teenager.
That's right.
And Gasparini, that's how it's pronounced. But when they called, it was such vigor that they mispronounced this name. Not even close. They were like, Andrew Kasparinko.
You feel the Italian curse. Yeah, there's panic and like extra vowels get added usually. So, you know.
But I get it, because sometimes I'm at an Italian restaurant and I'm seeing exactly what I want to order, but I get so nervous about mispronouncing the pasta dish or whatever that I just point to the menu like a child and I go, this one, please. Can I have this one, please? Megan, can we start with a real simple question? This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited to talk to you.
Same.
I'm sure we know all the same people. I'm not, have we met before? Maybe we have.
I don't think so. And I feel like that should be remedied ASAP. So,
well, we're remedying it right here virtually, but in the future, I'm sure you and I will just get drunk at an event together. And that
Absolutely.
Super duper fun. Where are you from, Megan?
I'm originally from Chicago.
Love Chicago. One of my favorite cities ever. Are you from the city proper or a suburb outside?
No. Suburb outside. It's true. LaGrange is the name.
LaGrange, one of the famous suburbs of Chicago. Obviously, everybody can't stop talking about it. So was it from there that you were like, I'm going to go be Andrew Lloyd Webber's favorite human? Or
No. My parents actually, as if this isn't Italian enough, they actually moved to New Jersey. We went from Chicago to Jersey. My dad used to work for Pfizer, actually, fun fact.
Amazing.
Yeah, and so... that's when I discovered New York City, and I was like, can I swear on this show? Or no? No, I shouldn't swear.
Please, I encourage it.
Literally, it's always like, Megan, watch your mouth. I'm like, okay. No, it's so funny, but like my mom and I took the train in, and I was like, Mom, put your phone away. We're New Yorkers.
Yes.
So that was like my first taste of the Big Apple. And blah, 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 blah. Went to grad school in New York. And that, which again, I was like, I will go to school here. Yes. And I did. Yeah. And then, yeah, that's this very, very beginning, I guess, of it all. So.
And I mean, like, your voice is insane. I've like, I haven't seen you as Christine in Phantom yet, but I plan to.
Great. You should
and, go. And I mean, I've known Ben Crawford for 55 years or something like that. So I feel like I owe it to him at the very least to go see him in the show.
Oh my God. Course,
I'll come see you. But I found something about you that I thought was kind of funny, and it has to do with a review about your voice. And since you're such a soprano, do you ever get tired of the soprano life, by the way? Or is it just like, you have to stay so maintained, I feel like. You can't just like smoke a pack of cigarettes if you felt like it. Maybe you could. Shit, I don't know.
No, you know what? Honestly, like if I was one of those singers that could be like, hey, let's party, babes, I would do it, but I cannot. So actually our drink is going to have to be very calculated. Like once I'm in show mode, I am literally like Sister Monk Megan Soldier silent. Like I do the show and then I shut up until I do the show or press, and like that's it. Like that is
wow.
Like that's how you can do the show all the time at your best, whatever your best is. And like I've been doing it for a while now, like all around the world, and like, you know, that's the only way you survive like in this role. She, I think Christine and dare I say Elphaba would also be up there where you just are like
100%. 100%. I mean, I remember reading articles about Ben Platt after Evan Hansen. He's like, I'm not talking to people after the show. That's exactly. insane. I'm not coming to your birthday party after this fucking show. You see what I just did? That's nuts.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, you're literally like.
Yeah. And a good day to you.
And good day to you, sir. It's wonderful. Yes. Yes, no. So that's actually how it is. So, yeah, like, it's funny, too, because, like, a lot of people, when they meet me, too, they're like, oh, you're not like a ingenue soprano-esque person. I'm like, no.
What is that? Like, what would you, because your personality is just vibrant and fun and loud. And, you know, we're Italians. We
we're
get
Italian.
Loud,
we
you know. So a part of me is like, you having to shut off after a show goes against what your blood relatives have slammed into you.
Oh my God, you have no idea. Like, usually, like, in interviews, they're like, you literally have this many minutes. I'm like, okay, I'll try to write it in. Like, because, like, and, like, this pandemic, forget it. Like, all my introverted friends are like, I'm thriving. And, like, now it's like, wow. I literally talk to people at the grocery store, at the bank, and, like, everywhere. And I'm just like, I don't even know what to do with myself. So, yes, it is extremely hard. Although, fun fact, I have found out that Siri, with some emotion now, can read. So I'll, like, type out a sentence and be like, hello, how are you? Wednesday, wow.
Wow, that is some emotion. Was that your Siri with some emotion impression? I really appreciated that. That was
It's true. Try typing out certain words and she'll be like, Wednesday. Yeah, it's true.
Wow. She's very excited about Wednesday.
She's very excited about Wednesday for some reason.
I feel that too, but with the introverted friends and they're like, I'm thriving staying at home. I'm like, I'm at the point where I'm just shouting at traffic to have a conversation.
Listen, you know? I had a favorite tree. This is a true story on our little, like, you know, our weird, like, I don't even know what to call them. Like our back at turn of the century, like 1 hour walks you would get when you were on lockdown. Like I had a tree that I'd be like, Celia, you're looking great today. How
oh my
things?
God. And it's when the tree started talking back to you is when you're like, this ayahuasca needs to wear off eventually.
Does it though during the pandemic? I don't know.
No, I say ayahuasca it up, kids.
For everyone.
Megan, the role you've been playing for the last 78 years is Christine in a few different iterations. Is there a moment where you're like, enough already, I'm ready to place anybody else? Or are you like, this is like the gift that keeps on giving? And are you just loving it?
Oh, no, I love it. I mean, but also I think there's a combo, like, you know, it's the cool thing truly about Phantom is it's a legacy. Like, it's been around longer than I'm assuming both of us have been born. And so, like, you know, there will be a time when it's time for me to pass the crown. And I think that's awesome. Like,
do you feel it from the other end? Like, you know, if the Sierra Boggesses of the world or whatever, when they're kind of done playing the role after a few dozen years, it seems like, was there a moment where you like knelt before whoever was ahead of you and they handed off this heavy weight of this iconic role?
I wouldn't say knelt before. It's like, we're definitely like a sisterhood. Like, it's so cool. Yeah. Like, when I went from Love Never Dies to Phantom, which I like Benjamin Buttoned. I think I'm the only one so far that's ever done that, like, in that order.
Gone in reverse?
Yeah. I think I am the only one. But, you know, it was pretty cool because also my journey's strange because that, first of all, happened. And then I opened and built with our Phantom cast for the world tour, the new revival of it. So like, I didn't go in as a replacement. So I built Love Never Dies with our cast. And then I also built Phantom. And so it was really not until I went into Phantom on Broadway. That was the first time I've ever replaced anything in my life, actually. And so, it was cool too, because like, I know so many of the Christines, like,
right.
Like when I first, like, you know, when people found out I was doing the younger Christine, they're like, okay, girl, listen, make sure you have ice for your back for this. You're going to want to do this. You're going to want, like, yeah. It's just like, cause it's true. Like it's a heck of a role. And, it's more of like a sisterhood, honestly. And so when it's your time, it's your time. I mean, I can't speak for every Christine. I'm sure there's been some that are like, no, it's mine forever. But like, it's been amazing. And like, you know, when my time is time, it's time. And like, what a crazy twist of events that now here I am again about to rebuild a show that is historic, that's never been rebuilt before ever in history.
That is pretty amazing.
And I gotta say, like, that's really exciting. Like, I'm so excited to see our cast again. Like, hugs all around. There will be tears.
Big
there
time.
Will be laughter. But also, yes. Like, what an opportunity that we get to come together for the first time since Phantom was created and premiered on Broadway, that we get together as one homogenous cast and we get to like rehearse together from the beginning.
I think that's great.
That's amazing. Like,
how does it feel? I mean, just like, we just talked about this pandemic and, you know, talking to trees, for fuck's sake. Like, how does it feel coming back out of the other end of this and getting to be where you're supposed to be and watching these theaters reopen and getting such an iconic show back up on its feet, you know, because audiences are going to be losing their mind for Phantom. It has lasted for like 35 years. There's a reason people seem to enjoy coming to this damn show. And you know what? I hear Andrew Lloyd Webber needs the money. That's what I hear. I hear he needs the money. So let's make sure we sell some tickets to this show. But like, how does it feel? Are there nerves or is it just immense joy through and through?
Oh, no, let's real talk. I mean, like, it's a mixed bag of, it's all a ball of everything, right? Like,
sure.
Most of it, I would say, is exciting. But let's face it, you're right. Like, we're finally able to go back to do what we were all born to do, you know, and we're such a privileged group of people. There's like, it's like 0.0001% that actually get to do what we're doing on Broadway, right? So, like, that's a real gift. And for the last year and a half, we've been just abandoned a little bit, to be honest, like by our government. Like, it's just pushed the arts aside as if we don't matter, when it's the very thing that's been getting us through this pandemic.
I agree.
And also will heal us all, because let's face it, we have some things to unpack for years to come after this pandemic happens. So to be honest, like, very excited, very emotional. And of course there's some nerves. Like, I usually don't get nervous often with being on stage. Like, I'm a stage animal. I love it. I have not been singing, like, real singing in front of a lot of people every single day like I've been doing. Like, we all just kind of came to a halt. So it's like, get back on the horse. And like, of course there's like little teeny voices that are like, can you still do it? Like that's being honest. Anyone that's like, oh yeah, we're just excited. Oh yeah. Okay. What does your therapist say?
I don't know. 100%.
You know what I mean? Like, it's totally both. And yes, like, this is an iconic show. Of course, like, the trio is iconic. So there is pressure on Ben, John, and I to deliver, which we will. And like, luckily we do have this incredible bond between the three of us. I absolutely love working with them. And
Great.
You know what? I love Andrew. Like, I love that he has been pioneering like the arts, trying to get us back up. And,
yes. Hardcore.
And like, you know, so like, you want to do really well for yourself, of course, but you want to do well for the show. You want to do well for your castmates. You want to do well for the audience members that have been hungrily waiting to come back. You really want to deliver your best.
It says something about like the theater people and the theater community, fans or professionals, either way, like during this pandemic, what was so, I'm not going to say fun to watch, because there wasn't a lot of fun about any part of it, but like, there was a joy in feeling that you're a part of this community that's so scrappy that they're like, what can we do online while theaters are closed? What can we do just to make sure we're giving, we're nurturing our artistic souls, but we're also giving something to these audiences that are no longer getting what we usually have. I think there is something kind of selfless about that mission that I saw a lot of theater kids go forward and just try to continue in this impossible world of no theater.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, let's face it. I think that performers, artists in general, are some of the most incredible survivors ever. And you're right. Like, something that I've said in a lot of different interviews is like, we literally have been making stars out of dust here, like over the last year and a half. And how we've been doing it is with each other. I think that's the thing, like that sense of abandonment that I know so many of us have felt all over the world, regardless if you're an opera singer or you're on Broadway, whatever, in a symphony, you know, we've come together and we've helped each other. We're like, all right, like we're in pain. The world is in pain. There's a lot of hate right now and a lot of fear. How can we do what we were meant to do? Even though it's, look, let's face it, like singing on Zoom is fun to a point, but like it's nothing.
It's hardly a placeholder. Hardly,
no, you know? It's not. Yeah. It's better than nothing. And like we adapted and we're also like ready. But like, you know, a lot of my friends that already have started rehearsing in like Wicked and Hamilton. Yeah. You know, it's a psychological journey with your cast then too, to be back together because you haven't been dancing every day. You haven't been singing. You haven't been acting. You haven't even like been like, let's face it. I'm sitting on my bed right now with a blue screen behind me. Like, this is what I'm used to doing. Like for like,
reality
a year
is new. Yeah.
We just had
these in-person auditions for Karate Kid, which is the newest thing that I'm writing right now, which is so fun and so great. And just going into the city at all, we had a number of people audition for us start just kind of crying in the middle of the audition because they're like, sorry, this is just my first in-person audition since this all started. And it's like an overwhelming thing. You could see it. And we all felt it behind the table watching these kids come in for these parts. And the fact that it hits them so emotionally, I think that is something that is kind of a common denominator with all artists right now, is that just, oh my God, this is so heavy. This feels a lot heavier than it should. And it's, I don't know, it's overwhelming. Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about, if you don't mind, I'm going to switch gears just a little bit here. I read this review about you that I thought was so interesting. And then I want to talk a little bit about reviews.
Okay, I wonder which one this one might be.
The New York Times has described, I'm not going to read the full review, I'm just going to say the word that really caught my eye.
Okay.
The New York Times has described your voice as attractive, which I think is a very strange compliment. It's totally a compliment, but what an interesting review. Based on knowing that this is how the New York Times has perceived your voice, and from the things I've seen of you performing, I just think you're absolutely fucking outstanding, by the way.
Thank you.
Is there a worst review that you've gotten that you could share, or even a best review if you'd rather go that route?
Oh, gosh. Let me think. You know, well, in general, I can tell you, like, you know, I mean, if I have been, knock on wood, very lucky. Most of the reviews I get, if not like nearly all, are usually like pretty fucking great. However, there's always like one in the breeze that you're like, what the fuck? And like, you will sit there and you will like roll it around. You'll chew it up, especially your first, and it may not even be terrible, right? It might just be like, was fine. And you're like, what do you mean was fine? What does that mean?
Fine.
Like, fine. Yeah. Fine. I'm... Like, so it's so funny.
Fine gets translated into the worst ever. You know what I mean? Like my egotistical brain looks at the word fine and goes, why do they think my penis is so small? Like I will take it so far the other direction because it didn't satisfy me.
No, it's so funny how that works because, you know, like as you start your career, because honestly, like, let's face it, like me going from opera into music theater, technically I'm still like a young pup in the music theater world. I crossed over in like a crazy rocket launch fashion, but like, you know, I'm still learning the things, the steps and everything. And so, you know, you start to get these reviews and you're like, I'm a fucking rock star. And like, you're like, I'm untouchable. I'm great. Everybody loves me. And then your first like either okay or bad review, or dare I say, and any fans listening, we know what you're saying. We know.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite.
We read the message boards, everybody.
Oh, we see. My favorite actually is not a review, but I was singing Wishing You Were Somehow Here Again on Broadway.com. And, like, let's face it, like, David Lai is fucking brilliant on the keys, but it's a keyboard and me in a studio. Like, what do you want, right? What do you want?
Yeah.
And some lady's like, well, she's clearly a mezzo-soprano. And, like, I thought was really funny. And I was like, honey, please, like, have you seen me sing, like, my coloratura shit? Like, I just thought it was so funny. And then, like, how people, I think the bigger thing is, like, you know, people, and again, this is, like, when you know you've started to have a real career is when people start saying their opinions, you know, because everyone's got an opinion now. And, like, it's so funny to me that I'm like, well, babes, if you'd like to give it a go, you go try. But I'm glad that Hal Prince and Andrew Lloyd Webber thought I was a good choice.
There you go. You know what's really funny? I have to say, this is an observation I have about opera singers in specific. Y'all are so much like athletes to me because it is a lot more conditioning than just like, I don't know, whatever, quote unquote, pop singing, regular singing, whatever's not opera, that you guys actually have so much training and so much professional prowess once you get that you're like, okay, junior, listen, let me lay it out for you. You think I'm a mezzo? Go check out my other shit and then come back and talk to me.
Same. And then also too, I'm like, that's such an insult to mezzos everywhere. You don't even know what you're saying. Like, no.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right. I mean, like in the vocal arena, like, oh, you know, operas, it's the Olympics of singing, truly. But like, I gotta tell you though, like, now that I've lived in the Broadway world and the music theater world for the last like 4 or 5 years, like there's something I really love our community that we have because there is like a can-do attitude I have never experienced truly. And this is not a knock to my opera peeps, but like, it's not the same. And like the physical demands on in every and mental demands when it comes to music theater, in my experience, is far more demanding than an opera. Like opera, you usually get like 48 hours off in between shows. Yes, you're not singing with a mic, but I have some news for you. I'm singing full out every day I sing Phantom. Am I using my whole voice? No, because then I'd be full on Carlotta. Oh, that's what some other people think too. They're like, your voice is too big. I'm like, also when I was 17, this is the voice I had, guys. I'm just saying, we're Italian. Like that's how it is. But like, so, you know, it's just funny because it's incredible. Like what people in the music theater world can do is incredible. Like every single day to have to sing, not have to, want to, but also bring it, make it fresh, make it new, you know, really. And also I love the in the moment need. And I've really learned a lot about acting and which is so funny to say, right? But like, really learned about storytelling even more living in this world. And that is my favorite thing in the whole world. And so like when you said that. Ben is one of the best storytellers I've ever been with on stage.
One of my favorite voices and actors, truly. Like he just has been for such a long time and I love him.
Truly. That's the thing. So like, I mean, I digressed, but anyway, you always remember like your, and by the way, I read reviews, even though like sometimes I'm like, okay, here we go. Because I want to know, like, what's
happening. I'm the same way.
I want to know. And, like, to be honest, there's, for anyone that's a young aspiring performer, composer, et cetera, though, you do have to remember, it's one person's opinion. Whether or not it's positive or negative, like, it's one person's opinion.
Megan, I am going to now read to you my worst review.
Okay, here we go. Okay.
I have it pulled up here. This is the first bad review I got in my life.
You remember? Oh, you remember.
I remember, and it's also just like on the internet in perpetuity, and it's just there. I can refer to it whenever I like as a nice reminder that this person fucking hates my guts for no reason. So I'd like to just make sure that everybody knows her name is Josephine Hull. She is the one who left this review. She is not a critic by any means. She just wanted to go on Amazon Music and shit all over my hopes and dreams.
Oh, those are the best.
So this is a review of my very first EP, which is no longer in print. It was called Small Thoughts. And there's a review that says fantastic album. There's another one that says delicious. This one says very good. Another one that says magnificent. And then we get to this one star review from Josephine Hull. And the subject is yech with an exclamation point. Y-E-C-H, yech. And this is verbatim what it is. Here we go. Absolutely horrible.
Oh.
Don't know what these others are thinking. They must be friends or family. It's schmaltzy, sickening, sounds like a million other guys, one of those recordings. Nothing on it is noteworthy, and this guy will never, in all caps, make it because he does not stand out. Lose the stupid cap, the dumb blog comments, and figure out a way to play music we haven't heard a million times. And then in all caps it says, save your money. Thank you, Josephine Hull. That was a review from 2009 on an album that stopped printing in 2009. So anyway, I'm glad we talked about reviews because I was dying to read this to somebody, and I'm glad that you were the set of ears that let me read it.
Wait, last note though is that the thing that actually, like, you know, you do have to let it roll that off your back. Like, I think people, and like, you know, there's a certain price to, like, when you start having a good career, like, this is part of the price, right? Like, when you're a super famous movie star, you get the paparazzi. Like, it's this kind of stuff, right? But, like, at the same time, I'm always floored that someone would want to take the time out of their day and write the most evil things. And I'm always just like, you know, if you didn't like it, just, like, don't say anything. Like, why do you have to, like, be like, this is shit. She should die. Like, I don't, like... Like, what did that bring you? Like, joy? I don't
know, like... but you know what? It's bringing me joy looking back at it because I see the journey I've had and I look back at this comment and I'm like, well, I guess I showed her. And the, like, just recently, when the announcement for Karate Kid came out, this guy tweeted at me some horrible, like, this doesn't need to happen and fuck anybody who's involved with this, blah, blah, blah. And then I wrote back very nicely, which was a mistake. You should just let them
go. No, you let them go. You just let them go.
But I was like, I just encourage anybody who says they're a theater fan to actually give the theater, you know, a chance before they start hating on it. And then his response was, and I reported him, his response to that was, go fuck yourself, Susan. Am I Susan?
Apparently so.
Well, this is Now We're Talking with Susan Gasparini, and we got our guest Megan Picerno. We're going to take a break and then come back right after this.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Megan, do you mind if we do a little stupid question?
Oh, please, let's go for it.
Okay, I love stupid questions.
Oh, me too. I think they're so fun.
And they just kind of give me great insight to, like, a person's mental state and emotional...
Well, beware.
Yeah, beware. I've been known to talk to trees. Beware.
I mean...
All right, so here's some stupid questions. What is a type of music or a band that you listen to that your fans might be surprised that you listen to? Because you sing in the opera field and you're in the musical theater world. So is there a something you listen to that might shock your fans?
Possibly.
Please,
although I feel
like... Please say Slipknot.
Not really. But indeed, I feel like in a past life, I was definitely a rocker because most of my music that I love, even though I'm like, probably won't be singing it ever. I mean, I've got a Kiss shirt on right now, right? Like,
hell yeah.
I love, like... you know, I don't know. I literally, like, there's actually, they always make fun of me at the Majestic, whoever's conducting, because they're like, what's on now? And, like, literally, you can tell my mood, because it might be, like, Rachmaninoff, Concerto in D, or it'll be, like, Led Zeppelin, or Muse is playing, or, like, Black Stripes, I don't know, or then I'll be, like, Mumford and Sons. Like, I love rock and roll, though, especially, and rock, and folk, indie, because, like, they've just created this music. I don't know. It just speaks as Queen. You'll hear Queen on, like.
Was that like, was your dad like a big Led Zeppelin fan? Like, what was the music in the household when you were a kid?
Actually, kind of, yeah. Oldies in quotes. Although I've been hearing that Britney Spears is oldies now, which I'm like.
I know. I the 90s having, is considered oldies. And I'm it having, gives me like, palpitations.
Thank you. I'm having a midlife crisis, I guess. And I'm not even midlife yet. And I'm like, how is that oldies? But like, you know, like real oldies is. And so like, that's the thing. Like, I didn't grow up in a music theater household. I didn't, you know, but like that being said, like classical music, it was so funny. I think that's the same, like classical music or like rock was on in my house. So like, I love the gambit. Love being from the opera world, I obviously have been exposed and very studied a lot in that arena, but I usually don't listen to opera. I like rock mostly. Like, I like things you can like jam out to.
It's gonna make sure you don't ever hate opera. Like, if you're listening to opera all day and then you have to go sing it, isn't that just kind of like suffocating yourself with something you love so much that you might end up like not enjoying it?
No, I don't know. Some people love that, but like, I don't know. I just love rocking out to stuff. Like, my playlist could literally just be like, it will run the gambit, but mostly rock. That like, you. That's my favorite. And like, if I could sing that way, I would. But unfortunately, I've been giving the like voice instead.
That was a perfect example of what you'll see on stage in Phantom of the Opera right there, everybody. if you were just listening. Megan, next stupid question, if you don't mind. Is there a cartoon character that gave you a sexual awakening?
Probably in a I haven't really thought about that. This is my first. Wow, you know, I've been asked a lot of questions over the years, and this is the first time I've been asked this. I would probably say most likely in a Disney movie. It would probably be like Aladdin or like.
Yeah. Oh
my God, who's the guy from Mulan or The Beast? Or Prince Eric.
The Beast?
I feel like it'd
but
be
the
one
Beast
of them.
While he's the Beast, or the Beast when he like becomes that man at the very end?
No, weirdly the Beast.
Wow.
I don't know
well,
what
you
that
are
means.
Italian. Maybe you like a hairy guy. Maybe that's what it is.
You know, who doesn't? I love a chest hair moment. Yeah, it's true.
Look, that's all. That was a comb over from his chest hair. He just like combed it over his face. The Beast is just a hairy man. Would you rather be, the next stupid question, and you know, if I were to answer that question too, I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe Ren or Stimpy.
I was going to say, who is it for you?
I would say Jessica
Rabbit.
That was
your
but
sexual
like
awakening?
No, not really. Not really.
Well, that's fair.
Jessica Rabbit, you know, she good looking. Okay, next stupid question for you is, would you rather question. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Would you rather be voiceless for 1 year or have hooves for 10 years?
Voiceless for a year.
You'd rather be voiceless for a year? That might be a nice, you know, considering how much you use your voice, that'd be a nice little vacation. It'd be nice.
I mean, like, there's other ways to communicate, so.
Yeah, Siri. We've learned this. We've learned that Siri can say Wednesday with a lot of excitement and other things as well.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Okay. That's a good answer. That is a good answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Last couple of stupid questions for you, and then we'll chat a little more, and then I'll say thank you so much. But is there something that is illegal right now that you think should be legalized?
I mean, this could get like really political real quick. What is happening in Texas right now?
I was just going to bring that up.
Bogus. Like, as a woman.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that that should not have happened. I don't think that women should have their bodies controlled by the government.
Yeah, they're blowing it over there. It is insane. They won't put mask mandates on, but they'll remove your reproductive rights. Isn't that nice? That's nice. Go Texas.
Correct.
Jesus.
I think that is absolutely unbelievable. I think a woman's body is a woman's body, and she should have the right to be able to do what she chooses so fit to do.
Thank you for answering so appropriately and succinctly, and I hope that what you just said is heard by enough people to continue the fight for all the good things instead of, you know, the morons who end up making these decisions. Thank you for saying that. My last stupid question for you, Megan. Last stupid question. And you have to answer. This is gun to your head. You have to answer. I don't even care.
Okay. All right. All right.
What is your least favorite Andrew Lloyd Webber show?
Okay. In fairness, I actually don't know because I have not seen all of them.
I hope you heard that. Andrew, Lord Webber, if you're listening, she's not a fan. She hasn't seen all your work. She's simply not a fan.
That is not true. I am definitely a super fan. How dare? How dare? No, but
How
I haven't
dare.
Seen them all, so I couldn't accurately say anything. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that the title for the sequel for Phantom of the Opera, what is it? Love Never Dies, right? That's what it's called? It doesn't that sound like a James Bond movie?
You know, it's so funny you say that because a fan had put together this conglomeration of me and Alex Brightman from School of Rock.
School
and
of Rock,
Rock
yeah.
Never Dies. Yes, and I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Amazing. That is badass.
I would love to be a secret agent, so I'm okay with that.
That is badass. You know, that's when I met Andrew Lloyd Webber. It's wildly known throughout the industry that Alex Brightman and I are best friends. And it was so exciting watching him originate that role in School of Rock. And I was, you know, I was kind of his plus one at these events with our little group of friends. And it was just so fun. And I actually got like these amazing and very strange and kind of inebriated conversations in with Andrew Lloyd Webber. And it was amazing because he's such a legendary Broadway musical theater writer.
Yeah.
But there's someone else that you got to meet, and I want to ask quickly, what was it like getting to know Hal Prince?
Oh, Hal was just, oh man. I mean, extraordinary doesn't begin to say, but I mean, and so wonderful and open and kind and brilliant. And I mean, let's face it, like I got him right. He took me under his wing right at the end of his life. And I honestly felt robbed. I was so obviously so upset that he had passed, but he changed my life. He literally changed my life. And he's the one that basically like introduced me to the world of Andrew Lloyd Webber. And like, and Andrew Lloyd Webber is also brilliant. And I love working with Andrew. And, but Hal, there's something so special about him that, you know, and his family, they literally just take you in. And, and you know what I really love is like Hal people, you can always tell who's a Hal person. They're a little kind of, well, they're like me. They're a little quirky. They're a little off. There's darkness, but there's brightness. Like there's just something. So like when you go and see other people that like, you know, also like Hal has touched their lives so much, cause there's so many people truly. It's like this wonderful family. There's that spark. There's a mischief in everyone. Cause that's how Hal was. Like he was brilliant and like, you know, funny and like hard, like you better fucking do like what like, he knew what he wanted. And that's like what Andrew knows what he wants. He is a genius. Yeah. He knows what he wants. And like, that's what's so incredible. Like you want to bring it because you're like, yes, like, you know? And so Hal will forever, ever be with me. Like he's very special in my life and he will always be special to me. So.
He is a missed entity out here in the Broadway community.
Yeah.
I've never gotten the chance to meet him or I never had the chance to work with him or anything, obviously. And he passed away a couple years ago.
Mm.
Every time I meet somebody who's gotten the privilege to work with him, they all say the same thing. And it just kind of warms my heart. There's a long list of people I wish I had the chance to work with, and he was certainly one of them. So it's nice to hear such glowing things about someone I always idolized from someone who actually got to work with him. Megan Picerno, We did it.
That's Pissarino. Thank you.
Oh, Pissarino. Thank you, Miss Pissarino. This was a real blast getting to talk to you and getting to know you a little bit and just exchange some stories and some heartfelt moments here on the podcast. I can't thank you enough for coming and checking it out. Can you just let our listeners know, when will they expect Phantom of the Opera to return? What is the date?
Okay, the date is October 22nd. Oh my gosh. Excellent. I cannot wait to hear that overture.
Yes, indeed. So. That's going to be mega. The audience will be roaring, and I'm very excited for you.
Amazing.
And when you see the cast, please tell the ones I know and love that I love them. Tell Ben I say hello and I love him. And thanks again for coming on. This was a lot of fun, Megan. I hope you had a good time.
Yeah. Yes, I did. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Take care.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Now We're Talking is a very proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network, and you can find out more about me and this podcast at bpn.fm/nowweretalking. We're also on Instagram at @NWTPodcast or on Twitter at @NWT_pod. Special thanks to Megan Picerno. Good luck in Phantom of the Opera reopening October 22nd on Broadway. Guys, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you stream your wonderful podcast. And if you feel like supporting us, please be sure to check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/NWTPodcast. Keep tuning in every Monday for a new episode with a new amazing guest. Until then, have a great week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.